This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما رب العالمين. We ask Allah عز وجل رب العالمين to open our hearts and minds, to strengthen our iman, to teach us what benefits us, to allow us to follow what benefits us, and to stay away from what harms us, to give us the wisdom to know the difference between the two, to grant us the light of iman, to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong, and to bless us with following what pleases him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to send salah and salam upon the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We ask him to bless us in this Ramadan, and to make us of those who are accepted, not of those who are rejected, of those who have the strength and determination to worship him subhanahu wa ta'ala, of those who have not wasted these days. May Allah azza wa jal guide us, strengthen us, accept us, protect us, and resurrect us in ways that are pleasing to us when we see him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and eventually in Jannah. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Our story, inshallah, for today is a portion of the story of the flood of Noah, alayhi salam. And in that story, and you know the story from the beginning, and the struggle of Noah, alayhi salam, and the flood, and all of this, and then the drowning of the disbelievers. But within that story, in Surah Hud, there is an exchange between Noah and his son. And in that exchange, there are a lot of benefits, I think, inshallah, that we can take from it. As it is, whenever we're reading a surah in the Quran, or especially stories in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal is telling and retelling that story because there is a benefit that if you pause and think about it, and especially really dissect that story, you'll find that there is something in it for everybody. So, In the story where Allah Azza wa Jal says to Nuh alayhi salam, you know, carry on the ship, okay, carry on the ship, the believers. And he says also, and your family, wa ahlak, carry your family and those who believe on the ship. And this is significant because Nuh alayhi salam is going to remember this when something happens to his son. And Allah Azza wa Jal describes the ship, wa hiya tajri bihim fi mawjin kal jibal. The ship is sailing in water, its waves are like mountains. And Allah Azza wa Jal describing the waves. Imagine this ship, just this lonely ship. And it's raining and it's flooding. The earth is flooding and it's raining at the same time, right? So water is coming from both ends, top and bottom. And this lonely ship, right, is sailing, and the water is like, the waves are like mountains. And I don't know if you have seen pictures of ships in the sea when the water really is so high that it really, the waves look like they are mountains. You don't believe that the ship is going to make it. So Nuh alayhi salam is sailing in such circumstances. And he says to his son, وَنَادَ نُوحٌ إِبْنَهُ. So his son, Nuh calls on his son. وَكَانَ فِي مَعْزِلٍ. That the son was apart, was somewhere else. And this is as they were boarding the ship. يَا بُنَيَّ اَرْكَبْ مَعَنَا. He says, oh son, ride with us, be with us, and do not be with the disbelievers. The son replies and he says, قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلِي يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. He says, I will take refuge on a mountain that will protect me from the water. He sees the water coming, but he believes that this is like any other water. He doesn't listen to his father. He says, just like any other water, I will just be on the mountain and it will protect me. Climb to the top, it will protect me from the water. Nuh says what? قَالَ لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمٍ. He says, today nothing will protect from the decree of Allah, from the commands of Allah, from what is happening, except the one whom Allah Azza Jal has mercy with. And Nuh alayhi salam understands that unless you board the ship, you're not going to survive. So this, your plan, your project to climb this mountain is not going to save you. So that's why he says, ride with us, board the ship with us. But he fails to listen to his father. He says, nothing is going to save from Allah's decree at this moment, except whom Allah has mercy with. And then Allah says, وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجُودِ The waves separated them. One is on the mountain, the other is on the ship. The waves separated them, and he drowned. His son drowned. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, you know, the water receded, and it stopped raining. And then that ship settled on the mountain, Al-Judi. When this happened, Nuh alayhi salam speaks to Allah Azza wa Jal, and he says, وَنَادَ نُوحُ رَبَّهُ Nuh calls upon Allah Azza wa Jal, and he says, فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنَّ بِنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي He says, Ya Allah, my son is from my family. وَإِنَّ وَعْدَكَ الْحَقِّ And your promise is true. وَأَنْتَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ And you are the best of judges. And your judgment is the best of judgment. What is Nuh asking Allah Azza wa Jal there? He is saying that my son is from my family. And your promise is the truest of promises. What is he asking? He says, because Allah Azza wa Jal said in the previous ayah, احمل فيها من كل زوجين وأهلك. He says, carry, put the animals in the ship, but also your family. Take them also inside the ship. Let them board. They will be saved. But Allah also says, إلا من سبق عليه القول. Except from your family, the ones whom Allah's decree had already decided otherwise for them. Meaning those will not be saved. But Allah did say to Nuh, what? That your family will be saved. But Allah made an exception. Nuh alayhi salam thought, believed, hoped that Allah Azza wa Jal could save his son. So either Nuh alayhi salam was asking Allah Azza wa Jal to save his son from death so that he would not drown, or Nuh alayhi salam knew that his son has drowned because he wasn't with him. And anyone who's not on the ship has drowned. But he's asking Allah to forgive his son in the hereafter, to save his son in the hereafter. Is it possible, this or that? Meaning, Ya Allah, either save my son from drowning so he doesn't die, because he is from my family and you promised that my family will be saved. Or, Ya Allah, forgive my son, though he is dead, but forgive my son because he is from my family and you promised that you will save my family. Allah Azza wa Jal, what does Allah Azza wa Jal say to Nuh? قَالَ يَا نُوحُ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ He says, O Nuh, he's not from your family. He says, O Nuh, this son of yours that you're praying that I will save him, either in this dunya or in the akhirah, he's not from your family. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٌ He is amal, he is an unrighteous deed. He is an unrighteous deed. Meaning here, according to this qira'ah, there's another qira'ah I'll explain. According to this qira'ah, meaning Allah Azza wa Jalla says that he is unrighteous to the extent that Allah had made him as if he is an unrighteous thing. He is so unrighteous. Allah made him as if he is an unrighteous thing. Innahu, he is an unrighteous deed. In another qira'ah, it says, Innahu amila ghayra salih, meaning he did unrighteously. He behaved unrighteously, meaning he is not from your family. And there's benefit in this, inshallah, we'll come back to it. Some scholars have said in tafsir, he said, no, maybe this is in reference to Nuh alayhi salam, meaning your request is unrighteous. Yani this is not an accepted deed, wallahu alam. But I think, wallahu alam, stronger is that it's in reference to the son, not to Nuh. It's reference to the son. So he says, Allah continues speaking to Nuh. فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ Do not ask me what you have no knowledge of. Meaning this dua of yours is something that you're asking that you have no knowledge of. You don't have no knowledge if this is beneficial or not. No knowledge if this is something allowed or not. This is not something, meaning can a non-believer be saved in the hereafter? No knowledge whether you can ask me this or not. Meaning don't ask me something like this, which I have not allowed you to ask. إني أعظك أن تكون من الجاهلين. I'm reminding you, I'm advising you so that you do not be among the ignorant. Then such an act, such a request is not something pleasing to me. So don't ask it, because I'm telling you how not to be among the ignorant. That's not something that is allowed and that you can ask. Then Nuh alayhi salam, he said, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ. He says, Allah, protect me from ever asking you what I have no knowledge to ask, what I have no right to ask. And if you do not have, you do not forgive me and you have no mercy on me, I'll be among the losers. So Nuh alayhi salam immediately returns to Allah Azza wa Jal, asking him to forgive him from even asking such a question. Now, let me go back, inshallah, to some of that points in the story, because I want us to extract the benefits that are in them and maybe also compare ourselves to Nuh alayhi salam. So first here in the request, Nuh alayhi salam asks his son, and his son apparently, and we understand he's a non-Muslim, he's a non-believer. He didn't believe in his father. And that is the first test of Nuh alayhi salam. As subhanAllah, many Muslims, right, can identify with that test, where you have Islam, where you have righteousness, where you want to follow Allah Azza wa Jal, but the son or the daughter do not. And that in itself is very trying. So I want you, if you ever are going through something like this, where you have a loved one who does not listen to Allah and His Prophet, and that is hurting you, to take solace and comfort, some comfort in the fact that someone before you, like Nuh alayhi salam, went through something not only as difficult as yours, but a lot more difficult because of what's going to happen. Because Nuh alayhi salam is going to see his son die, and he's going to see his son die because of his own dua against the disbelievers. He made dua against the disbelievers. And it's a dua that Allah was pleased with. That's why he accepted it. So he made dua against the disbelievers, and that dua eventually came to include his son. So Nuh alayhi salam is standing there and he's helpless. He cannot do anything. He says, board the ship with us. Come with us. Do not be with the disbelievers. And here, do not be with the disbelievers could, you know, accept two interpretations. Don't be with them, meaning as a disbeliever, or don't physically be with them. And that tells you that sometimes being physically close to someone means that you're emotionally and intellectually and religiously are close to them. And if you don't want to be close to them, you physically need to maintain some distance. So if you're around people who drink, you'll be like them. If you're around people who gossip, you'll be like them physically if you're around them. You can say internally, I'm not. But if you continue to be physically with them, you will be internally like them. So he says, if they are taking drugs and you physically around them, you will be like them. If they mock Islam, mock Allah, and you're physically with them, you will behave like them. So he says, don't be with them. The son ignorantly says, what, doesn't listen to his father. He says, I will just simply climb on the top of a mountain. That will save me. And that is exactly materialistic thinking. That you think that calculations, 1 + 1 = 2, that's the only thing that I need to know. There's no depth beyond that. I'll be on top of a mountain, the water will not reach me. That is materialistic thinking. Nuh alayhi salam is telling him, in normal circumstances, this could work, but now this is a decree of Allah that I know about that is going to kill anybody who does not board this ship. So don't always think materialistically. If I take medicine, I'll never get sick. If I have money, I'll never get poor or need anybody else. If I have something physical, I will not need Allah Azza wa Jal, and I'm always strong and independent. This is not the way to think. Secure your financial needs, your physical needs, but rest assured that without Allah Azza wa Jal, La asima al-yawma. Nothing will protect. You can have money and will not protect you. You take medicine and will not protect you. You can close the door, lock your door of your house. It will not protect you unless Allah decides that He will protect you. So let's not think materialistically like the son of Nuh. La asima al-yawma min amri Allahi illa man rahim. If Allah wants to be merciful with you, He protects you. If not, nothing that you can do will protect you. Then when Nuh alayhi salam asks Allah Azza wa Jal, Ya Allah, my son is for my family. Why is he asking? Maybe he forgot that Allah has said that there is an exception to your family. Maybe he forgot. And maybe in the anguish of a father and a prophet, family, Allah Azza wa Jal could save him. And this is a dua coming from a prophet. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to accept this dua or reject it. Allah Azza wa Jalla is not going to accept it. Allah is not going to accept it. And so understand that if Allah is going to deny someone like Nuh alayhi salam a request, because it's not good for him, it's not suitable, it's not destined, it's not decreed, that Allah Azza wa Jalla could also very well deny us some of our requests. And that some of our requests will be, we're asking Allah what we have no knowledge of. Now, we don't have there Allah Azza wa Jalla coming directly talking to us and telling us this. Sometimes we need to review what we are asking. Sometimes we need to ask somebody else. And sometimes Allah simply does not give that thing. It does not mean that Allah hates you, because He does not hate Nuh. It does not mean that Allah is not listening to you, because Allah is listening definitely to Nuh. But it means that this request is not appropriate. Either not appropriate, period, or at this time, at this place, it's not good for you. You can't ask it. So have this conviction that you are asking Allah, but you're asking Ahkamul Hakimin, the best whose judgment is the best of judgment. Not mine and your judgment. If it was up to me, I'll get everything that I want at this moment, instantly. But Allah's judgment knows best that this is not good for me and this is not good for you. Too much of this will destroy you and me. So his judgment is the best of judgment. So he's not going to give it. Not that Allah does not have it. Not that Allah cannot give it. Not that Allah, God forbid, he's mean and he wants us to torment people. Not any of these things. But his judgment is the best of judgment. So believe that his judgment is better than yours and mine. Sometimes his judgment means that you and I will be sick, not healthy. Ask for health. But if Allah delays this, believe that his judgment is better than my judgment and keep asking for what you want. Don't give up. But at the same time, don't blame Allah if he does not give the things that you want. His judgment is superior to yours and me. Then Allah says he's not your family. And here there are biological bonds and there are religious bonds. And Allah is telling him eventually, right? When they stand in conflict, religious bonds supersede. He is his son, but he's not your family. That's it. They were separated. And Ibrahim alayhi salam has gone or will go through something like that. And has gone through something like that. Because faith, iman, separated between him and his father in this dunya and in the akhirah. He'll try to intervene and Allah Azza wa Jal will not accept his intervention. Will throw his father in hellfire. So they are biological bonds and they are strong. And your sons and your daughters and your parents, and they are dear to all of us. But eventually if we find out that Allah Azza wa Jal does not approve of them, and only we will find this on the day of judgment or when we look at them now and they are displeasing to Allah. At this moment, Allah Azza wa Jalla is not happy with them. Later on, they could come back to faith and Allah could be happy with them again. But eventually, if we discover that Allah Azza wa Jalla is displeased with them, the religious bond supersedes. Allah Azza wa Jalla comes first. As agonizing, as difficult as it is, Allah says, he's not from your family. He's not righteous. And if you were to embrace him, if you were to take him, he'll separate you from me. So think and decide, which one do you want? Someone who will take you away from me, or do you want me? And if you want Allah Azza wa Jal, sometimes it will mean to let go of what is dear to you. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكِ. He did something unrighteous. He is unrighteous in himself. So do not ask me what you have no knowledge of. And here, what is subhanAllah, and this is what I want to conclude with, what is astonishing, what is inspiring is how quick Nuh alayhi salam comes back to Allah Azza wa Jalla. He doesn't condemn Allah. He doesn't protest. He doesn't say, how could you take my son after everything that I've done, I've given to you. 950 years in da'wah. Couldn't you guide my son, this son of mine? Couldn't you guide? Couldn't you save? Don't I deserve this? Right? This is something like we would say. Couldn't you at least give me this? Am I not close enough with you that you could answer this dua of mine? Why would you deny me? This is what we would say. Nuh alayhi salam was a different caliber, different human being. He immediately said, Ya Allah, forgive me for asking this. Forgive me that I said something and I requested something I'm not supposed to. If you do not forgive me and have mercy on me, I'll be among the losers. This is a heart, subhanAllah, that has submitted so much to Allah Azza wa Jal. Once Allah says this, he said this. Halas, he's just that the son, he forgot about. Not that he had lost the love that he had for his son. That never goes away. But when Allah says, no, stop, he stops. The son is gone, he's gone. Don't imagine that Nuh, you know, had stopped feeling love for his son, agony over his loss. No, that never stops. But Nuh alayhi salam understood the matter is settled. And Allah decided what he loves and what he hates, and he's going to go with what Allah loves. And he'll put this before his own feelings, and in time, those personal feelings will decrease. And the love of Allah Azza wa Jal will continue to grow. So when you give up things for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, even when things, and especially with these things, are dear to you and me, this is the time when the love of Allah will grow. So again, subhanAllah, if we ever think that we have gone through a test that we cannot bear, and the test of Allah was so great, remember the tests of the prophets of Allah. Remember this test, that he had seen his son die in front of his eyes, and he knows that his son will be in hellfire, and he had given up all of his life, all of his comfort for Allah Azza wa Jal and for da'wah. And his son died as a result of a dua that he made against the non-believers. And with all of this, he submitted to Allah Azza wa Jalla and says, I am for you, Ya Allah. So let this, inshallah, just inspire us and comfort us that if I'm going through some difficult times, these are not as difficult as these. If I lost something, it's not as difficult as this loss. And this is one of the reasons why Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us these stories, so that see the sacrifice of those who came before you and see what happened to the prophets of Allah. Your loss and my loss pales in comparison. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the wisdom so that we understand our loss in context, in comparison, and ask Allah Azza wa Jal whenever we lose something to strengthen us with iman and conviction, so that we're always connected to Allah Azza wa Jal, and we never reject him or rebel because of something worldly that we have lost, because we understand that Allah is dearer than anything in this dunya. Wallahu a'lam. So inshallah, I'll answer the questions that we have. So the first question is, should we start our worship after Isha for the night prayer and etc.? You can do that, inshallah. So the night starts from Maghrib. So you can start from Maghrib. I mean, Maghrib, between Maghrib and Isha, I mean, you're going to be eating and then finishing up food and wrapping up these things and that thing. So you may not have a lot of time for Ibadah. But if you have some time for Ibadah, you can pray if you wish. It's not night prayer, but you can pray if you wish. You can do dhikr if you wish, inshallah, because it is still part of the night. The bulk of your worship, most of it, is going to start after Isha. So once you pray your Isha, and then you pray your sunnah, that's when your ibadah will start. From then to all the way to Fajr. So you start your salah then. And you start your Quran. And you start your dhikr. And you start your dua. And we explained, inshallah, how to do this yesterday. So yes, most of it starts from Isha. But if you have time between Maghrib and Isha, then you have time for Quran. You have time for dhikr. You have time for that. Then you can do that, inshallah, between Maghrib and Isha. And then after Isha, you continue most of it, inshallah. And your salah could be immediately after Isha. You could wait a little bit and then start the salah. You can spread it out throughout the night. You can make it all before Fajr, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours before Fajr, as it fits your schedule, inshallah, and your ability to perform ibadah. Does memorizing Quranic words count as ibadah? Inshallah, don't make this the main ibadah of the night, but interspersed, like in between. So you pray, you make dua, and this, for instance, you just want to rest a little bit. You got tired physically, mentally, you got tired a little bit. You just want to rest. And that's kind of obvious and normal. You just want to rest, you just be energized again to worship. So what gives you energy maybe is to memorize a few Quranic words. Memorize them, inshallah. So insert that memorization of Quranic words as your relaxation time. As you're relaxing, re-energizing, memorize these words, inshallah. Right? Can you recite Quran alone, the Shaykh who is reciting from radio, or just to practice your reading and to perfect your reading of the Quran? You can do that. So you have specific qaris who are really good in reciting the Qurans, just such like Al-Husari, Al-Minshawi, Abdul Basit. There could be others, Al-Hudayfi, right? Especially the one of Tartil had been recorded, not in the Salah, but recorded in a studio. You find them, these recitations, recorded in a studio, especially for Tajweed. So you're sitting and listening, and you are repeating alongside or right after, just to perfect your pronunciation and your Tajweed. So you can do that, inshallah. This is one of the ways for you to improve your Qira'ah, improve your Tajweed. If a gold you bought is 100 grams and you paid 10,000 long time ago to wear, but now is worth 3,000, how will I pay zakah for it? You estimate the zakah of today for it. Zakah, you know, the worth today, not the past, but the worth of today for it. And that's the zakah that you pay for it, inshallah. So if it reaches the nisab, so if it's 3,000, it reached the nisab, the minimum amount. So you'll pay 2.5%, right? For that gold, right? And that gold, inshallah, it's gold that you store. If it's just regular jewelry that you wear, you don't have to pay zakah for it, according to one opinion, the stronger opinion, wallahu a'lam, you don't have to pay zakah for it. But if it's a gold that you bought and you simply store as investment, that you pay zakah for, right? The one who cares for an orphan and myself will be together in paradise like this, and the Prophet held his two fingers together like that. Based on this hadith, can the orphan be our own kinship, i.e. nephew, niece? Yeah. Is there any limit in terms of age that we can put them under our care? An orphan, inshallah, as long as they have not become adults, religious adults, hit puberty. So we're talking about an orphan who has lost, let's say, both parents or lost at least a father. But typically, right, if they're going to be under your care, I imagine they lost both parents. So if there is someone who is below the age of puberty, and you take them fully under your care. So you take care of them fully. Kafilul yatim is the one who takes care of them fully. Now, there are some people who just donate money to take care of an orphan, and that's highly recommended. May Allah bless you for that. But it's not fully kafilul yatim. Kafilul yatim, for you to achieve the status that the Prophet ﷺ is talking about here, where you will be close, very close to the Messenger ﷺ, is for you to adopt him. Take him fully. Responsible for everything, responsible for his expenses, raising him, taking care of him, protecting him, everything. This is kafilul yatim. But if also sponsoring a yatim is also wonderful, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Allah rewards you a lot for it. So an age limit, right? We will say up to puberty, this is yatim. After that, it's not really yatim. But in society today, unlike societies in the past, they still need you. So if a girl is at 12 and she's had hit puberty, or a boy is at 13, 14, he had hit puberty, they don't cease needing your help. Before, right, they can be more independent. Today, they still need your help. So we say, inshallah, that extends, right? That extends all the way till 18, wallahu alam, in society today, in an age where they can be independent. Now they can go to college, university, they can take care of themselves. It extends till that age, wallahu a'lam, in today's society. Previously, they did not need it till 18, 19, till 17, 18, but today they do. So kafirul yatim, the one who is an orphan, and you adopt them, and you put them in your house, and you take care of them, and you feed them, and you sponsor them, everything. It's like you are a father for them. You are a mother to them. And you sponsor them, inshallah, until they are independent. So we're talking about 18, wallahu a'lam. That's typically the age when they can go on their own, inshallah, either study or find a job and what have you. Wallahu a'lam. Tayyib, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. I don't see any more questions here and there. Tayyib, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. So inshallah, just a reminder that if you're in the city or similars, inshallah, you know, you can, inshallah, be receiving the night, and the incoming night is going to be the night of the 21st. It's a potential night where it could be Laylatul Qadr. May Allah Azza wa Jalla enable us, give us the energy to do our best in it. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Remember this dua. Ya Allah, you are afu, you are forgiving, and you love to forgive, so forgive me. So remember this dua. Keep repeating it, inshaAllah. And there are stations of Qiyam Laylatul Qadr. So we'll begin with the minimum station, right? I don't know if you're able to pray in a masjid in jama'ah or not, but that is a possibility. If not, that's fine, inshaAllah. That's not necessary. But what we say is the following. You pray your Isha, you pray your sunnah and the minimum. I'm just going to state the minimum here. And you pray two rak'ahs of qiyam. And let's read 10 ayahs in each rak'ah. And you do your witr. That qualifies as qiyam. Then do dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Make your dua. You did qiyam. So that's a minimum. Okay? What we can do more, inshallah, and I hope that we can do more than this, is that you pray taraweeh. Pray qiyam and taraweeh. And you pray what? You pray the 11 rak'ahs. You can make them short if you wish, or they could be very long. So you can make your qiyam an hour or half an hour, or you can do your qiyam 2 or 3 hours, depending on how physically fit you are and how mentally prepared you are, inshallah, to do all of this. And you can spread it out. If you say, well, I can't. If I do, you know, half an hour of prayer, I get tired. You say you can do half an hour and rest. Then do half an hour and rest. Half an hour and eat and drink. Half an hour, inshallah, and rest a little bit more. And in the middle, you can, inshallah, in between, you can do some dhikr, you can do some Quran, you can do some dua. You can pray standing, you can pray sitting down. You can pray in the beginning of the night, sleep, then wake up the end of the night and continue praying. So there are various levels, inshallah, and various, you know, ways where you can pray. Just remember that you can do, just make it for Allah Azza wa Jal, make it with iman that I'm doing this because Allah loves it. I'm doing this because I want my previous sins to be forgiven. I'm doing this. I want to run away from hellfire. This is why I'm standing. This is why I'm praying. This is why I'm making the dua. May Allah Azza wa Jal accept from us all. May Allah Azza wa Jal guide us to what He loves. Ya Allah, if this is Laylatul Qadr, help us. Ya Allah, do the best in it and accept it from us. Make our praying in it and our dua in it imanan wa ihtisaba. Accept our salah, accept our dua, accept our dhikr, accept our Quran, accept and make our intentions sincere for your sake, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Make it upon the sunnah of your messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Make our heart present, make our mind present. Make us, Ya Rabbil Alameen, in the company of the angels of Allah Azza wa Jal as they descend, if they descend in this night. Make us of the blessed on the night of Qadr, not those who are denied. We ask you, Rabbil Alameen, to accept our fasting, to accept our ibadah, to forgive our parents and forgive our spouses, forgive our children, forgive our family, close and distant, forgive our neighbors, forgive the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Make us of the people of Jannah, make us of the people of the Quran, the people of the Sunnah. Do not make us of the people of deviation, of bid'ah, or the people of hellfire. Protect us from hypocrisy and shirk. Protect us from the diseases of the heart and the diseases of the body. Protect us, Ya Rabbil Alameen, with your protection in this life and in the hereafter. Jazakumullahu khaira. Inshallah, we'll see you the same time, inshallah, tomorrow. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa an. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.